It's pretty good. And I'm glad to see everybody here. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I just want to read one verse from Genesis 25. I want to read verse 23 again. I'm going to continue on in that vein, but I'm not going to stay there long. Oh, and by the way, Deb says to say hi to everybody. So, hi. Genesis 25 and verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, as I said last week, these are the words of the Lord to Rebecca when she was having a problem when she was pregnant with twins. She felt a struggle going on inside her, and she didn't understand it, so she inquired of the Lord, and this was the Lord's answer to her. Just in case anybody was wondering, the Lord already knew what was going on. This is here for us. This is the word for Rebecca, but it's also for us. And he told her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the elder shall serve the younger. And basically from that it means also the elder, the greater, the larger shall serve the little, the fewer. That's the way it is. With God's people are few in number. We know this from experience, but our experience is based on this truth. What he has taught us is what has always been. And what he is teaching us has always been and shall always be, because the Lord never changes. The elder, the more, the greater, the abundant shall serve the younger, the fewer, the lesser, or the little. Now you can speak of them as assemblies, nations, communities, but also in this case you could speak of them as two men, because two people came out of her womb. Now, they were two when they were in her womb. They were separate in her womb. God does things in his time. It's got nothing to do with our time. Our time is dependent upon his time. It always has been and it always will be. They have the same pedigree. As far as men are concerned, they had the same mother and father. They were brothers in the flesh. The separation of grace can be within families. Christ told us this himself. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. That is conveniently forgotten by a lot of people because they don't like it. I have come to set at variance a father against a son, a mother against a daughter, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, any kind of family you want to name, there can be a division there. Not always, but there can be. But the division took place when God made his choice. It's just revealed to us. Two nations are in thy womb. They're already two nations in her womb. It's not that they parted ways when they came out, even though they did. They were two nations in her womb. The separation had already taken place. There we go. See? Amen, amen from a bullfrog. There we go. Okay, this illustration of two children separated in their mother's womb. And that shows us where the difference was made. That's what it shows. And that's what people don't want to know. What was it Walter Fred told you? Somebody was ordained from their mother's womb? But when he tried to preach that, they wouldn't have it. They won't have it. This was made known to Rebecca, and through Rebecca, it is made known to us. It was not the choice of the mother or the father. It was not the choice of either one of the brothers. It was God's choice that made the difference. I read it last week. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I still like that question. Because the answer is yes. He does have the power. Yes, he does make the vessels. And yes, it is the potter that maketh thee to differ. It takes the power of God to make every vessel unto honor. However, what some preach and some fail to understand is we were all of the same lump. The vessels unto honor, the vessels unto dishonor. Of the same lump. The amazement, the miracle, is not, I'm going to stick something on that, there you go. The amazement, the wondrous miracle, is not that the potter makes the vessel, is that he actually does, of the same lump, make some vessels unto honor. Dishonor, we're good at. And to be honest, I don't need much help at it. That comes naturally. Unnaturally to me comes honor. Unnaturally comes from me to praise God. Because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot receive them. Incapable. Now, do I believe that God makes vessels unto dishonor? All I know is what the Scripture states. And it states that the potter makes the vessels. Both kinds. Thank you, Walter. Both kinds. He makes vessels unto honor. He makes vessels unto dishonor. Vessels do not make themselves. That's the illustration. You got a lump of clay. Unless you have a potter, all you got's a lump of clay. You're not going to have any vessels. The potter makes the vessels. The potter makes all of the vessels. That's the beauty of this metaphor. Vessels are incapable of making themselves. It doesn't happen. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's vessels unto honor. There's a reason the God of the Bible is called the Creator. It's because He creates. He creates. Matter of fact, He made the vessels, and then He made the treasure He put in those earthen vessels. And He's the one that put that treasure in those earthen vessels. Do I believe that God makes vessels unto dishonor? Well, I've got a scripture here that sort of mentions that. Jude 1 and verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and thereby, of course, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a vessel unto dishonor. And they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. I think the potter had to make that vessel, because it's a vessel. The part that they don't like when you start talking about that same lump is that we deserved, every single one of us deserved this condemnation. Matter of fact, Christ said, if you believe not, you're condemned already. He said that right after God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't come to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. He came to redeem, to buy, to purchase, to ransom those vessels that his Father had made unto honor, that were made by the potter. Those vessels that came from the same lump as the vessels unto dishonor. The difference is not from us. The difference was put in us. Paul asked that question. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. Paul asked that question, then he answered it. That's the best kind of question. He asked it, then he answered it. What have you got that you didn't receive? This treasure in earthen vessels that the vessels unto honor have came from God. Came from the potter who made us unto honor. Now, we receive this difference, but not as the world thinks of it. Because in the world, receiving something, this rock is going to drive me crazy. As the world receives something, they have this odd idea, like God is like Christmas, or God is like us. In order for us to receive something, see, you have to accept it. That's what they think. That's what they teach, and that's what they preach. I've been there, I've heard it, and some of you have too, if not all of you. That's not what this means when it says, what do you have that you did not receive? You received it because God gave it to you. You received it because the Holy Spirit gave it to you. You received it because God walked up upon you while you were polluted in your own blood and said, live. You were dead in trespasses and in sins, and God said, live. And then you lived. That's what it means. What have you got that you didn't receive? God gave it to you. When God says to someone, live, at that moment, the life of God comes into that person and the person lives. It is not up to them to accept it. Because he is found of them who sought him not. He is revealed to them who looked not after him. You received life when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes into you. Life comes from the outside. It is received. The Spirit dwells within the believer. The Spirit dwells within the regenerate soul. The Spirit regenerates the soul. Most of the time when life is given, I tell you this, but sometimes we're so dead that we don't even know it. And I disagree with some people who believe that it happens only when the gospel is preached. Because most of the time we are unaware of this life. Because it is not that we have to accept life from God, it's that God has to give us life. We have to receive life. Who maketh thee to differ? What have you got that you haven't received? Christ puts this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. The Spirit dwells in those chosen by the Father in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And I don't have a clock back there, so I got to pay attention to what I'm doing. Now, this separation here happened in the womb between these two brothers of the same mother, of the same father, but it didn't stop there. It continued on after they were born. Matter of fact, as they were born, Jacob come out holding on to Esau's ankle. If God separates you unto honor, if God makes you a vessel unto honor, it shall continue. Those two nations were coming forth. It didn't matter what anybody had to say about it. Isaac had nothing to say about it. Rebekah had nothing to say about it. Jacob had nothing to say about it. Esau had nothing to say about it. Israel and Edom were coming. As a matter of fact, when they were born, they started. God will continue his work in his people. And God will continue his work on this earth with those vessels unto dishonor. He has to, because he's God. And he's promised it to us. To us, as vessels unto honor, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Every single thing that a vessel unto dishonor does is for our good. And it's for God's glory, which is definitely for our good. And this separation that happens in the womb, and it's talked of in the Old Testament, it's talked of in the New Testament, it'll continue on into the future. God, who from the beginning has already declared the end, has told us that for the vessels of dishonor, this ends in a lake of fire. For some, it does. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this book of life, I really appreciated what Jim said the other day, Walter, because I had almost forgotten about that. I've been away from it so long, and I'm very glad that I have been away from some things for a very long time. I had forgotten what Arminians used to preach. They would preach that as you come forward in the church, and as you prayed the sinner's prayer and God saved you, God gave you life after you prayed, then he would write your name in the book of life. That's the way it's preached. You want to hermeneuticalize Jesus? It doesn't say that anywhere in the scripture. You will not find anyone ever writing anything in the Lamb's Book of Life in the scripture. You'll hear it from pulpits all across America, but you won't find it in the scripture. And the reason you won't find it in the scripture is because it doesn't happen. I believe that book's already written. Because if it had happened that way, he would have told us in here. But those two nations were separate in that mother's womb. Those two boys were separate in that mother's womb. Nothing surprises God. We get surprised all the time. I get surprised all the time. Usually they're unpleasant, but every now and then I get a pleasant surprise. But nothing surprises God. He knew what was going to happen from the beginning, and he told us what was going to happen from the beginning, because he's caused what's going to happen from the beginning until now. I gotta hurry up here. What I'm saying is, this book, these scriptures, from beginning to end, from generations to revolutions, or from Genesis to Revelation, however you want to say it, is full of separations, where God separates. Now, one of the biggest ones we know of is called Jews and Gentiles. You're either a Jew or you're not. We actually right now are not. Another one that is shown in here is called Saved and Lost. Another one that's in here is called Sheep and Goats. Now this, just for information's sake, in case anybody's wondering, sheep are always sheep. Goats are always goats. And if you want to cross over metaphors, vessels unto honor are always vessels unto honor. And vessels unto dishonor are always vessels unto dishonor. It doesn't state that the potter takes a vessel unto dishonor and makes it into a vessel unto honor. It does not state that. Because he knew what he was doing while he was making them. He's not remaking them. He made them to start with. And goats are not sheep, and sheep are not goats. And what brought this to mind was that, All the lost sheep shall be found. They shall be found, because the good shepherd finds his sheep. And you will never find in this book anywhere any story about a lost goat. There are none. Ezekiel 34 and verse 17 says this, "And as for you, O my flock, saith, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats." I had to think about this for a while, and then I realized that both sheep and goats are cattle. Both of them are considered cattle. But God judges between cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. There is the flock of God, and there are those who are not of my sheep. That's what Christ said in John 10. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. Well, Ezekiel said it back in 34. Therefore will I save my flock. Who's Christ going to save when he comes, according to Ezekiel? His flock. His flock. And they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And Jesus Christ, the Son, has brought it to pass. He purchased his flock with his own blood. He owned them before, and now he owns them again. They're his. He paid the debt that they couldn't pay. He gives life to his vessels unto honor. The separation was already made. I will save my flock. Therefore will I save my flock, the words of the Lord. And it's going to have one shepherd over them. And it does. The flock has one shepherd. There may be other sheep that I must bring, but that's all right. I'll bring them. There's one flock and one shepherd. The Christ of God spoke about these separations. Like I said, he came to bring divisions. He said it himself. He said he was coming to bring a sword, and he did. Walter's been talking about swords. Swords cut things. Swords separate things. He chose Jacob, and he didn't choose Esau. The divisions are made. The separation has happened. Now we are learning of these separations because we didn't know about it. That's what we're doing. The good news is that there is any good news at all. It took a miracle of grace. It took a miracle of love. It took the blood of the Son of God to make vessels unto honor. We said it before, we say it again, most people won't get it. The big miracle, I don't know how to exactly put it, really the unthinkable thing is not that God hates Esau. The unthinkable thing for us is that he loved Jacob. That he loved us enough to send his son to die for us. To purchase us. To take upon himself, our Lord took upon himself our sins in his body on the tree and suffered and died for them and for us. That's the amazing part. Well, that's amazing grace, David. That's amazing. I can understand why God might not like me. I can understand why God would hate me. Because at one time, I hated God. And I was so dumb, I didn't even know I hated God. But that God loved me before the foundation of the world. That God loved Jacob and Esau, he didn't before the foundation of the world. This book is full of separations. God makes us to differ. God made Jacob to differ. You can read Jacob's life. It's not a pretty picture a lot of times. He turned to extortion against his brother, extorted his birthright from him. Of course, Esau gave it up. Just the fact that God could love us is amazing. The fact that he does love us is, I can't understand it. But I know it's so. Because of this book, his word, and because of his son who came and gave himself for me and for all of his people. And that's what the separation comes to. Life from God. And this is eternal life. They may know thee, the only living God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. By him, by his power, we know him. And that's the treasure we have in these earthen vessels. A knowledge of God and a knowledge of Christ that has been given to us. From God. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place and for your word that teaches us what you have done for us and what you have done to us and what you are going to do to us and for us. And all the things that work together for good. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.